Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lamar Jackson, he's got like a QBR or passer rating like 141, whatever.
Amazing that those aren't the same thing.
Yeah, of 141, whatever. I don't even know what the max is, but that's really high. 10 total touchdowns, no turnovers. And that's just the season. Like, he has no shot of winning the MVP, in my opinion.
And they're 1-3. That's 1-2, sorry. Yeah, right. Thinking ahead. That's the story right now. Right. Even though they lost a competitive game to a really good Detroit team, and obviously the brutal 4 minutes that started their season against Buffalo. Again, we talked about the loser leaves town with the Ravens and the Chiefs. It's the team that loses the Kansas City losing that game. Kansas City Chiefs losing that game does not have the same feeling as the Baltimore Ravens losing that game. Mm-hmm. Right. The Ravens feel like Super Bowl contenders today at 1-2. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City Chiefs do not.
Right. Can I say something real quick?
No.
Because we're going to get back to the phone lines. But did you see what Shador Sanders said? I don't know. It might have been last week, maybe before the game or something like that, when he was asked about starting or something. He was asked about something.
I don't think so.
And he talked about scout team because he's like the scout team quarterback. And he says something to the effect of like, man, I got 6 game days, you know, I'm out there learning, I'm out there helping my team. And, you know, this is my role and I love it for right now. Do I want to play? Yeah, sure. But it's my role. I love it. You know, I get an opportunity to get better 5-6 days a week as opposed to 1 day a week or something like that. And I just, you know, I'm embracing that. It was just something real, quote unquote, humble or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just kept thinking, I was like, so they want us to believe. I don't know Shador. I don't know the meetings, all this. I don't know all that. But they want us to believe that Shador just completely changed as a person because of where he was drafted.
Mm.
So what I mean by that is he was just this arrogant jerk.
Mm-hmm.
All college season in the draft process.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets traded fifth. And he answers every question and handles fifth round, excuse me, and handles every situation with grace and humility.
Yeah. Doesn't add up.
I'm not buying that.
Yeah, it doesn't add up.
Yeah. Doesn't seem logical.
916-909-1320. Our man Buddha on the line. Buddha, what's good?
What's up, family?
Oh, yeah.
It's a good Thursday.
Buddha,
it's a good Thursday.
Buddha feeling good right now.
It's like, no, it's good talking to my boys, man, for sure. I just wanted to say, man, I'm hearing Sack Up right now. Y'all got Tootsie out there. Y'all got my boy Drake putting Sack in songs, you feel me? Diss tracks to DeMar, like, yeah, bitch. The last piece, you just get JK and everything going to be lit, man. Last time I talked, you know, we was talking about JK. We still talk about JK, man. Let's get it done.
Buddha might be gone, but if you're not gone, you're in favor of the unprotected pick. You're like TC, just get it done, huh?
To be honest, I definitely want like a top three just in case anything weird going, you know. Mm. But at the same time, JK, he 22, 23, so basically it's like having a draft pick. Mm. So if you give up the pick because we was getting picks at 9 and 10 and stuff like that. We getting Devin Carter. We getting Davion. Let's go ahead and get somebody that's going to really make a difference, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you.
Buddha's call is brought to you, as always, by Crystal Nugs.
Buddha calling us after a long day of work. It's 6 o'clock over there. He's chilling now.
Where Buddha at?
He like in
Delaware, there?
Yeah, Delaware or Philly or something like that. So he chilling. He's like,
let me be honest. Delaware and Philly are very, very different places. Do we know which one he's at?
I think it's Delaware.
Delaware is not.
So then we were talking about this last time he called. Yeah,
Delaware. Oh, I didn't say it was far. Well, I said they're very different places.
Yeah.
Buddha, if you're in the chat, tell us where you live.
Yeah. Oh, no, the Buddha in the chat.
Oh, Buddha in the chat. Yeah, Buddha in the chat. Yeah, shout out Buddha. Shout out Buddha. Yeah.
I love Buddha.
But
Buddha make me want to take an edible right now and just think about life. Think about life.
They
a lot of people feel like Buddha and TC do though.
Yeah, I kind of do too. You know, the funny thing is you said getting Kuminga because he's 22, 23 years old. It's like drafting a new guy. Yeah, it's like drafting a new guy in 97. That's drafting a rookie in 97. That's what getting Kuminga.
Oh, drafting a 22-year-old? Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it used to be. See, there you say he live in Delaware, went to college in Philly.
Okay, okay, okay.
There the real go. Buddha.
Oh, there he is. Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. That's a boy.
But yeah, I'm with you, man. A lot of people just make them. If you really want them and you got an opportunity to get them for real, make the move.
Yeah.
I also think the talk about him not fitting this season with his current group is short-sighted too. You're not trading for Kuminga. Like, I don't know, like. The way I see this current Kings roster, I think ceiling is 41-41, and they're not really going to do much, maybe playing, and they get lucky or something like that. But if you're trading for Jonathan Kuminga, it's like, oh, yeah, now we're making a push for the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, that's a move for the future as well.
Yeah,
yeah,
agree.
Yeah,
agree.
Completely.
Yeah,
completely, completely agree. It does create a...
Because, like, too, if it moves DeMar to the bench... And like, oh, we got this weird situation or whatever. Like, the starting lineup is weird. I'm fine with that. Like, I'm more worried about Kuminga being here for the next three seasons and what that's going to look like rather than, oh, like, now the starting lineup looks funky right now.
Well, see, that's the kind of interesting part about all of this is, you know, this is picking up or at least reigniting. There's a question about the starting lineup. And... I don't know how you work this lineup. I don't know how you work this situation, excuse me, with DeMar DeRozan starting. And that is, again, I know this fan base, for whatever reason, whether it's roster or their dislike of DeMar or the way that he plays, is quick to move him to the bench and say, oh, he'd be so much better for us if he came off the bench, whether it's for Keon or whether Jonathan Kuminga. Like, whatever, you're talking about a player, and I don't remember the exact number. I apologize, but it's somewhere in the vicinity of a veteran who has played a lot of basketball over the last, like, 16 years.
I think you might be going to year 18. I'll check it out.
Okay, 18 years, and has started all but, like, less than 10 games. And it's just, like, I know that that's not our issue to figure out, but, like, yo, it's tough to pull a Hall of Fame player aside, be like, hey, we know you're not used to this. And, like, let's not forget that. Like, this isn't, this would be a new approach. It's different coming off the bench and starting. Mm-hmm. It's not the same thing. No matter how often it's minimized, it's not the same thing. It's setting the tone versus entering a game where the tone has been established. And either you have to keep it going or you have to reset it. Like, your role could be different on a night-to-night basis. To pretend like the two things are the same is foolish. So there is a component to where if something happens over the course of the next 6 days with Jonathan Kuminga, it throws a monkey wrench in what likely is the plan for the Sacramento Kings to start the season or start training camp, I should say.
Great. Yeah.
We'll come back. Matt George, go ahead.
No, I'll say also, if you get Kuminga in here, go find a first round pick somewhere for DeMar DeRozan if you're able to. Like a late round pick if it is from a contender, I think.
Right.
ABC is really big on scheduling meetings when Matt's supposed to join us. So Matt will be with us the second his meeting ends. So we'll come back. We're going to be commercial free until the top of the hour. We'll talk with Matt George. We'll talk a lot of Kings basketball here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to be live at Baker Family Wines this Sunday. Come hang out with D'Lo, KC, Dusty Baker at Baker Family Wines in West Sacramento. We're going to be watching football together. 49ers and Jaguars are going to be playing. Yes. Ravens and Chiefs are going to be playing. We're going to be sipping wine. We've got food trucks out there. We've got charcuterie boards, charcuterie boxes. We've got contests. We've got things that you can win. And again, most importantly, we've got Dusty Baker.
That's right, man. That's
Dusty
right.
Baker's going to be out there
legend,
hanging out with us.
The soon-to-be Hall of Famer, as we yeah. We always like, yeah, the Hall of Famer. Like, actually, he's not in yet.
Yeah, well,
he won't stop working.
And that's and he made that pretty clear to us earlier this week when he was with us. So Baker Family Wines, 2568 Industrial Boulevard in West Sacramento. You're going to be watching football anyways. Come watch football with us.
Yeah.
We'll keep it real. If you don't want to watch football with us, that's fine. Come watch football with Dusty Baker.
Yeah, just
come watch football with Dusty Baker and drink some wine.
Absolutely. You missed it because you were being a professional, but Matt George is just out here looking like Lil Wayne. Did you see the tattoo?
Oh, there it is. Woo!
That boy looking like Weezy F.
Look at
Matt. Goes all the way up the shoulder, too.
Weezy F, baby.
Crazy. I did not expect that.
It's only three quarters of the way done too. I got to go back next or in a couple weeks to finish this side of things. There's still some blank canvas there, but yep, it is. It goes all the way up.
Wow,
that is awesome, man.
I did not expect that.
That is tremendous.
I thought it was just gonna be like a map on the floor.
Oh no,
that's the whole thing. Arm.
Matt is like, remember that show that I think it was on NBC? Don't pay no mind, Matt. But the lady had gotten kidnapped, and they marked her body with a bunch of tattoos that showed like where money was or something like that. And when they found her, when the FBI or somebody found her, they had to, like, every tattoo was a clue to how to find this guy before he took over the world or something like that.
I do not know this show.
Yeah.
It was on NBC?
Yeah, it was like primetime NBC, like 3 years ago.
Okay.
Crazy. I mean, Casey always brings up other stations
blind
and other
spot.
Channels
there.
While I'm here.
Everybody saw Blind Spot. I never watched it, but
any other stations you want to promote while I'm here, Casey? Or actually, honestly, this is a good week to not talk about ABC. So,
well, first of all,
Niners Jags on Fox on
it's, Sunday. Let's point out, you know who's great? Sean Cunningham.
I mean, you said at the beginning of the show he asked better questions than me, and you're right.
That's not what I said. We were actually trying to mimic the way everybody would have to ask Malik Monk how he feels about being involved in every trade talk. First
and
of all,
you said I'd piss him off.
Yes, you absolutely would. Sean would ask him in a very soft tone, delicate way, how do you feel about your name being referenced in trade talks? Like, does it just come with the territory, or does it, you know, bother you a little bit? Matt would find a way to phrase the question that would piss Malik off. Like that guy, I'm certain, like, it's just the way it would be. But before we talk about media day and Jonathan Kuminga, let's just make sure we mention we're glad you're okay. Mm-hmm. We're glad everyone at ABC is okay. What went on there end of last week, early this week, whenever it was, time is a whatever, was ridiculous. And obviously what's happening at ABC in Sacramento has nothing to do with what's happening in the offices of Disney.
Right.
So we're glad you're okay, and we're glad your team is okay.
I appreciate that. I was fortunate enough to not be here, but the people that were here have been unbelievably strong throughout this entire thing, and it was scary. And ABC, Tegna, well, not yeah, Tegna is doing a good job of taking care of us as best as possible, and
yes,
making some changes. So
Tegna,
we shall.
Yes,
Tegna,
not Sinclair.
Nope.
and not these other, whatever that other entity, I can't remember what the other main one is that owns the ABC affiliates, that have banned Jimmy Kimmel across their networks. Like,
we are an affiliate. We have nothing to do with ABC. We just air their shows and take their live sports, which we're happy about. But yes, everybody's good. Everybody's fine. I needed a glass of Baker Family Wines last night, D-Lo, because with that going on Friday, and then my son broke his arm yesterday at school.
Oh, no. So
it's been a week.
Oh, no. It's been a week, my friend. Oh, I remember when Morgan skinned her knee. I was mortified. I can't imagine breaking a bone.
Man.
Yeah. He's a little tough guy. He's doing fine, but he I guess red light, green light gets a little extreme in Roseville. Well, let's put it that way.
Hey, he's no punk.
That's not a game. Red light, green light, not a game.
And he probably finished the game.
Look
at my boy. It's
a little blown out, but he's mugging me with his juice after.
Get well soon, big dog. Get well soon, man. Yeah, he is tougher than a $2.
Let's go, Artie. Send Artie over to the house, man. We'll get him rehabbed. We'll get him ready.
Tougher than a $2 steak.
Yeah, we'll get him ready. How does Artie feel about Jonathan Kuminga? Is he tired of Dad talking about Jonathan Kuminga in his stupid office all the time?
Hey, Dad hasn't talked about Jonathan Kuminga because there ain't nothing to talk about. Like, it's the same thing. Like, I have heard the same thing that Sam initially reported, that talks were reestablished, I guess, or restarted, but they went the exact same way that they went weeks ago or a month ago. It's, hey, are you interested? Well, maybe. What's the pick? Or what's the price? Well, it's okay. It's Malik Monk and this pick. No, we don't want Malik Monk. Okay. Like, that's where we're at. Like, it's the same exact thing. The Sacramento Kings, it sounds like we're checking in, not out of any sort of like desperation or breaking first, but just like, yo, that deadline's coming up. You got media day coming up next week too, and you only have six people on the roster. Like, do you want to get this going? Is the qualifying offer going to happen? Or, hey, we're still here. We're still an option for you. And the Warriors are, I guess, probably in the same boat saying, nope, we're good unless you want to up that offer. And then they probably hung up the phones and went back to focusing on what they're doing. So there's nothing to talk about. So there hasn't been a podcast on it. Nothing. I had Casey on the show today. We were talking about DeMar DeRozan and that stuff going forward. That's what matters, because I don't think Jonathan Kuminga is going to be a King. And if he signs that 3-year offer sheet was a 3-year or 4-year that was the player option on the final year. If he signed something like that, for sure, there's no way.
I don't think there was a player option on any of them. There was a 3-year offer.
He wants the player option instead of the team option. What he's looking for. If he signs a deal and gets the player option that he wants, then we can kiss Jonathan Kuminga as a King in the short term goodbye. So,
does it matter? Well, the reports came out that they're talking again, or they had talks.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter to you who initiated the conversation? Because it does to me. Like, and I think Brett Siegel was the one that said the Kings reached back out. Which to me says there's nothing going on. It would say a lot more to me if the Warriors were the ones that reached out.
100%. Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. 100%. If the Warriors are calling you, that means that they're feeling the heat a little bit. Mm-hmm. Unless they can't call from any position of power, what are they going to do? Call up Scott and go, hey, have you thought more about giving us what we want? Mm-hmm. No, like they're not going to do that. And Scott's just going to be like, no, but have you thought more about, let's like, so no, if the Warriors had called the Sacramento Kings, then I think it would be like, okay, we're ready to budge. We're ready to actually talk about making this Malik Monk and protected first pick happen. The Kings calling is exactly what you just laid out. Like, you're just putting a feeler out there. Hey, the deadline's coming up. So have you changed your mind? Like, we're still here. And it doesn't have to be more than that. It's not desperation from the Kings at all. And if the Warriors or anybody from Golden State and the Bay Area wants to spin it that way, that's just copium for a situation that they're not in they're still not in a good spot. They're not. So the Warriors are going to have to give up something. They're either going to have to give a player option or give up an ideal trade package or give up the qualifying offer. Like, they have to pick one of three evils. Which one is the lesser one? That's on the Warriors at this point.
What do you think Media Day is going to be like on Monday for Sacramento? I don't care what it's like for Golden State. What do you think it's like for Sacramento? It feels like there might be some unanswered questions heading into Monday.
I mean, optimistic. Every media day is always optimistic. Sure. It's, hey, we're going to be great. A full season with all of this together. We'll put what happened last year behind us. Doug Christie's our head coach, and we're excited about it. Like, all stuff that they should be saying. But, yes, Malik is going to get some questions, and Malik will, you know, with the banter that Malik normally has with the media, he'll probably say some witty little remarks, and we can move on, and he'll flip us off in his friendly way that he does before he leaves. That's just who Malik is. So I mean, I don't expect him to say anything. Malik's always been a professional. I know Malik has relationships with a number of people in this organization, and Malik Monk being on your basketball team is in no way, shape, or form a bad thing at all. Mm-hmm. So if he feels a certain type of way about it, Malik's also been one to speak his mind, but I don't think he's going to go too far in a way that looks badly on him. And I think this, I'm interested to see, like, if there's any kind of, like, notable chip on anybody's shoulder of, we've heard the talk, we've heard everybody saying that we're a play-in team already, that we're mid in Sacramento, and this experiment's not going to work. Like, I've heard the chatter. I feel a certain type of way about it. I'm curious if anybody has that approach, but I think for the most part, you're going to get we have a lot of talent on this roster, and we expect to be competing for the playoffs, and let's start training camp. I think it's going to be probably a pretty uneventful media day. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this coming back up again, or even the Kings reaching back out to the Golden State Warriors, may end up having an effect on Malik Monk and his approach, his mindset going into training camp? Maybe it's just us because we hadn't heard anything, but it was the thought that they've walked away from it, and you know, they've had time to kind of talk to Malik, and we love Malik, we want to keep him here, and everything's good, and you think you're getting past it, and then all of a sudden this report comes out a week before training camp. Do you think that might mess with Malik's mind going into training camp?
I mean, these guys are human beings, and it's the same way that in the build-up to a trade deadline you see your name out there, and NBA players always say it's a business, it's part of the business, part of the job, but there's no way that doesn't ping your attention, or even if they're not, even if Malik's not on social media himself, you don't think he's got somebody somewhere that's sending him a text message or sending him the update of Sam Amick's article or something like that. Like, these guys see it, and they're human beings, so I think they would react to it like naturally. But like, two things can be true. I think the Sacramento Kings can be fine with Malik Monk still being here, and I believe, in fact, I've been told directly that, like, Doug Christie has no problem continuing to have Malik Monk on his roster, and I've been told directly that Malik Monk has told Doug Christie, I'll do whatever job you need me to do, whether that's starting or coming off the bench or whatever. So that's the relationship they have, at least from what I've been told. So I believe that the Kings are fine with Malik Monk still being on the roster, but I also believe that the Kings view Monk as a asset that they could use right now in a very limited time to improve their roster and go out and get something like a Jonathan Kuminga. It's their only real reasonable route to doing so. So they're pursuing it. And I think if Malik can't understand that, then it doesn't have to feel good, but I think Malik will understand it. And you guys talked earlier in the show, you're kind of figuring out or trying to figure out, like, who is it? Multiple people that don't want Malik here? Is it one guy? Like, I mean, I can provide what I've heard. It's that Scott Perry has a question. Like, there's one thing from that I've heard about Scott Perry's questions with Malik about how Malik fits the vision going forward. So I do think there's reservations on Perry's side to commit to Malik long-term as part of this vision he's trying to execute. And by the way, Malik's not going to be the only one that we hear question. That's what this entire year is going to be about, is evaluating this roster and figuring out who fits and who doesn't. That's what these 82 games are for, in my opinion. And then my opinion on the situation, or feel and read on the situation, is something I've laid out before. You've got your top four contracts. Two of them are unmovable in Sabonis and LaVine. One of them in DeMar DeRozan is easier to move and will probably be easier to move at the trade deadline. And then you have Malik Monk, who's number four. So out of those four right now, which one's the best one or the easiest one to move in a market that is very, really difficult? It's Malik's. So that's the reason why he's being included in so many of these conversations.
Why do you think Malik's deal seemingly has become difficult to move?
I mean, I think the entire league is scared money right now. And I think to blame Malik for that, like the conversation initially when all the Dennis Schroeder stuff was going on was, man, Malik's market's not very good. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out the market isn't good, period. Like you have unrestricted free agents that still haven't signed. You have unrestricted free agents like Josh Giddey is like to me was like a surefire. He's going to be part of the Bulls future going forward. It still took until what, late August for them to get that deal done, maybe even early September. So like the market's been terrible, period. I don't think that's Malik's fault. I don't blame any players for that. I think that's it's a growing pain of the implementation of this apron system. And I don't know if the NBA is going to have to adjust it a little bit to get the off seasons to be a little more fun, or in a couple of years when the books balance themselves out, teams will be more prepared to handle the apron system better. But I think Malik, bad timing, right? I think Malik and all these players kind of ran headfirst into a transitional period financially with caps and this collective bargaining agreement and everything in the league. And because of that, an $18 million per year contract that a year ago we were talking about being a bargain is now very difficult to move. Not because $18 million is a tremendous amount of cap space right now. It's that people are afraid of not just how to plug that $18 million in and then the $20 million next year. It's, in the third year, I have to commit to a $21.5 million player option. And that has people spooked too. Like teams are terrified of player options right now. And the Warriors are a perfect example of that. Teams do not want to give players control on contracts right now, period. They want to have control because they want to have the get out of jail free card out of things if they are not going well and they can avoid any apron penalty.
This is hindsight, so it's not fair. But just ask you a hypothetical. Knowing what you know of Scott Perry since he's been here, the way he goes about things, maybe you can even talk about like just how he feels about Malik Monk. Do you think if he was the GM and Malik Monk was his contract was up, he would have signed him to that particular deal? Do you think he would have had an understanding of the potential market, the future of that contract, and said something like, hey, we'll give you 12 or 13, but we're not giving you this 17 to 21.
That's a really interesting question, Casey. Well done.
Thank you.
That'd be a fun thing to explore on a podcast. Ding content. Hey, wow. I think like the circumstance is important. If Scott Perry was the one to initially bring him in, then I think the circumstance changed. One thing I think you said earlier in the show, Casey, was 100% spot on. Perry's taking this job with no strings attached to anybody. The only strings he has attached right now are Dennis Schroeder, Nick Clifford, and Maxime Reynaud. Those are the only three players that are like, and I guess kind of Terrence Davis to a deal, like a training camp deal. Like those are his moves. Other than that, like everybody on this roster is like, I inherited this. I can pick and choose who I want, but I inherited this. Now, if he extends Keegan, if he extends Keon, and to some extent he has to own the Keon decision at this point because he picked up his option. Okay, now that's kind of got Perry's fingerprints on it. Same thing with the Doug Christie thing. Perry can't go, Doug Christie was not my hire. Well, buddy, you committed to him, whether it's true or not. It's the same thing with like, when you remember when Monty McNair committed to Luke Walton and then fired him like a month later? It's like, was that really Monty McNair's pick? Probably not, but it was now on Monty McNair's resume because he said so publicly. So that's a long-winded way of saying I think the circumstance matters. But I do think like $18 million to $21 million is not an unreasonable contract in the NBA. The reason why that contract feels so uncomfortable here in Sacramento is because you've got two almost $50 million per year players. And I think like that's what's happening around the league is these top echelon of players are taking so much of the cap that a valuable six man of the year type candidate player at $18 million per year now is a little more uncomfortable because of how much money is up top. But can I get three guys at $5 million per year instead? It's like, it's the same way we talk about like Brock Purdy's contract in the NFL, right? Man, you have to win a Super Bowl before you have to pay the dude. I feel like the NBA is kind of going in more of that NFL direction, but very long-winded way of saying, I think Scott Perry, unless he really just does not believe in Malik Monk, the player, I do think Scott Perry would have given Malik a similar deal given the circumstances.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle,
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And the reason why I ask, Sardane, the reason why I ask is, number one, maybe Scott, I don't know if anybody could predict what we saw this offseason as far as not spending. But maybe Scott had a little bit more of an idea of what was out there. Maybe Malik's agents knew what was on the horizon, and they said, let's do this before we even get to free agency. Let's just get this done. And Scott may have had that same type of insight. Also, when you look at a guy, and once again, this is hindsight, but when you look at a guy like Jordan Clarkson, who signs for the vet minimum, why am I giving Malik Monk $18 million a year? I can, even if I cut that in half, or close to half, of $9, $10 million, that's more reasonable than giving him $18 million, which goes into $21 million in 2 years. Like, why would I do that when that looks like where the market was trending for a guy like Clarkson or Malik at that time? Not saying Malik should have got the vet minimum, but just saying that type of player.
Well, if you had the crystal ball and were able to look into the future that effectively, then you should be a championship caliber general manager, right? Like that's and I'm hoping Scott Perry can be that. But like the way I'm applying what I was thinking about KC was, if you had fired Monty McNair and hired Scott Perry last offseason, when we were talking about going into the offseason, it is priority number one to bring Malik Monk back. Mm-hmm. And he chose not to because Malik didn't fit the vision. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember going at Monty McNair when he first took over because he let Bogdan Bogdanovic go. And that was a significantly less profile player than what Malik Monk is in Sacramento.
Right.
And I was thinking, how can you do that? This is Sacramento. How can you let a player like that walk? He was so important for you. Turns out, didn't really matter. But Malik, like if Perry had started his tenure with, I'm not bringing Malik Monk back, like we're already seeing how upset fans are just for picking up the final year of Keon Ellis's option. And maybe rightfully so. But imagine if Perry had started his tenure with, I'm not paying Malik Monk $18 million a year to bring him back. When, again, I think that's a perfectly reasonable contract for someone who should have won sixth man of the year and is arguably, or was at the time, like a top three most important player on this roster that still had playoff aspirations. So, yeah, he would have gotten eviscerated, in my opinion, for not bringing Malik back.
And that's what makes this offseason so strange. The idea that we're talking about trading Malik Monk, the idea that we started talking about trading Malik Monk like months ago, like they came up in conversations with Detroit, the Dennis Schroeder stuff. They came up, obviously, in conversations here with Jonathan Kuminga. And in the end, it's for me at least, I still really like Malik Monk. I still think Malik Monk can be really valuable. And Matt, you brought up a second ago the roster, the cost, the $50 million players, the cost of the roster. And I don't mean to parrot KC, but we're talking like a year, 2 years. We're talking like a couple of years. And like I get like the window in basketball is so short. You got to make your decisions on what you can do immediately, but it's not like this team is going to be in poverty if these $50 million players are on their roster and you have to keep a guy who cost you $18 million. Now, if you made the argument that perhaps distribution, like maybe you need a position group to be stronger and you're pulling a guy who is at a loaded part of your position group or at a loaded part of a position group, maybe you can move him to fix another part. Like, I get that. But the idea that this is about money always kind of misses me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, especially when we're talking about owners that can I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the financial date highs and lows that they go through, but these are owners that don't necessarily bat an eye at these dollar figures because it's in the cards for them, right? It's in the bag for them. So I do understand the financial ramifications.
And with that, we're not even talking like apron concerns. It's not like, oh, if the Kings don't do this, they're the second apron. Boy, we're screwed. Like, that's not even a thing.
Right. No, it's just about, I think it's just competitive. We're talking competitively. You're talking like within the rules of the game. If you're playing a board game, if you're playing Monopoly and you're trying to set yourself up, or like Settlers of Catan is a great example. I don't know if you two have ever played that game. No. That's a board game. Yeah, it's for nerdy kids like me. It's a game that you operate within the rules to set yourself up long term as best as possible while also trying to win and contribute right away, right?
I know Patrick's just tan. I don't know.
It's the game, right? It's just the game. Like the competitiveness of the CBA and the salary cap is the game, and finding a way to have all the stars align, it feels like, correctly before the big paydays come through is the name of the game at this point, which is why drafting well is so unbelievably essential. And could you have tried to maximize Keegan Murray in Sacramento before he's now going to get a little bit of the bag? I don't think it's going to be a massive payday. I think it probably will be and should be less than what Jabari Smith Jr. makes, unless Keegan has a breakout year. But like, you're paying Keon Ellis $2 million, which is an unbelievable steal. Can you maximize that right now before you have to pay him $7 or $8 million? And that doesn't sound like a lot, because in the grand scheme of things, it's not, but that's a chunk that you could give to two players at the vet minimum or league minimum if you want to. So it's all a game, man. It's been really interesting to watch the entire league get issued these new apron rules and penalties and completely not panic, but like, we got to reevaluate everything because this is scary. Like every team went into this offseason like, we don't want to touch anything that is a financial commitment that we don't have control over. And here's where we are. We're left with a offseason that Sean said was going to be explosive, and we've gotten maybe one little firecracker.
2025, the year Sean's lied. It's what it'll always be remembered as.
Damn, Sean, that's going to be how we remember you, man.
The big move was Dame Lillard getting waived. Seriously, right? Am I missing something? That was the biggest move of the offseason?
That was about it. Yeah, that was about it. Man. Well, and Drew Eubanks.
Obviously, Drew Eubanks, big part of Sacramento Kings' future here, Matt George. Your thoughts on Drew Eubanks and the contributions he's surely going to make to Sacramento?
I hope that he's sitting comfortably while Maxime Reyneau is getting those rotational.
Speak on it.
And we're going to see glimpses of that in training camp, hopefully right away. Like, people, media day is Monday, and we're all excited about that. But Tuesday's the start of camp, right? So, like, they get to work on Tuesday. And it depends on how much Doug Christie is going to let us in and how much he's going to let us see towards the end of practice. But if we get to see some scrimmages, I hope to see – we pay a lot of attention to – it's like our conspiracy theories. Like, what color jerseys is everybody wearing? Because that signifies where they're at. The starters usually are wearing black. The bench five are usually wearing white. Like, is Maxime Reyneau wearing white? Is Neat Clifford wearing white? And specifically, when the Kings are doing five-on-fives, is Maxime Reyneau trying to guard Domantas Sabonis and getting beaten up because he's a rookie and Sabonis is a physical player and learning from that? Because you best believe any time, game one, game 30, game 50, doesn't matter. Anytime Maxime Reyneau checks into the game, he's going to have a target on his back of whatever big he's guarding is going to be like, I'm putting a shoulder into his chest and I'm going to see if he can stay in front of me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm excited to see that. Like, how does Maxime do with the physicality of the NBA? Because I think he absolutely should be in the running for a rotational spot. And I heard pretty quickly after the draft that both he and Neat Clifford amongst the Kings coaching staff are considered to be pieces that should be in that conversation for the rotation right away, especially Neat.
JT Lowe called him Drew Eubanks, and I'm kind of shook.
Damn, come on, man. He does have a family.
I'm a little.
He does have a family. Let that man.
I low-key look like him, so be nice.
Let him.
Let's see what this. Let me look at that.
You know, a couple of things. I want to make a statement, and then I want to ask you a question.
No. It's a solid. I give you a
seven.
I give you a 6.5 on Matt George looking like Drew Eubanks.
So if I go buy a Drew Eubanks jersey and walk around downtown Sacramento, will I be stopped?
If you walk around with Kevin Huerter guy, maybe. If you walk around with Kevin Huerter guy, you guys could get stopped. Yeah.
Also,
that would be weird if you're walking around in a Drew Eubanks uniform and you're getting
very strange
passed off as Drew. Yes.
Have you guys seen, by the way, this the Kings like on their fan night deal where you pay $50 and you get a bag and you can put as much as you can fit in the bag in the team store?
I saw something about that. I didn't really dive into it.
Wait, what?
Yes, but I'm like, there has to be an off-limit section. Like, it has to be just like De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, like half the store. Like,
there must be an on-limit section.
They're like, going to put all
this
of like,
here, come get this Marvin Bagley jersey.
All the best jerseys are going to be on the top rack, like at the very top. And they're like, no, it's fair game if you can get it.
Oh, God, you're going to have guys climbing the... Hey, babe, come here. Boost up their girls to the top of the
people chucking their kids to grab a key on
like cheerleaders,
cheerleaders
and pyramids. So Maxime Raynaud, people talk about him being a second round guy and a rookie, and like, man, he just ain't ready. He's gonna get destroyed on defense. All right, man. Like if the Thunder want to give Isaiah Hartenstein the ball 17 times, fine. Like it's not like he's going to be guarding Anthony Davis on these times. Like he's the backup center. He's going to play 5 minutes a half probably, and we'll go with that. But do you think that he even gets that opportunity? Do you think game number one that Drew Eubanks is the backup center and Maxime Raynaud is trying to work his way into the rotation?
Okay, so those are two very different questions, because I do think more than likely game one, it's either Drew Eubanks as the backup or it's why am I blanking on his name?
Isaiah Jones.
How dare I?
No. Isaac Jones.
Isaac Jones. Yes, thank you. Sorry. Isaiah Jones. Disrespectful of me. Isaac Jones, a beast.
Didn't they have an Isaiah Jones on the summer league team? Weren't there like four Joneses on the summer league team?
Yeah, there were a lot of Joneses. but... I kind of feel like it's going to be Isaac Jones on opening night, just because of how hard he plays and how he played in summer league and stuff like that. But yes, I do think Maxime Raynaud will get opportunity. Again, I've been told that there are members of the coaching staff, including potentially the head honcho, the main guy in charge, Doug. They're really big believers in both Neek and Maxime and believe that they can contribute right away. And like, Casey, there's never really going to be, unless we're being extremely nitpicky, like, slap me if I ever come on the Locked On Kings podcast and go, the Sacramento Kings lost tonight because of Maxime Raynaud. Like, okay, whatever. Then you probably shouldn't have won anyway. And I could even say the same thing for Neek Clifford when the rest of your roster is as talented as it is. So give these guys opportunities. They're not going to be the difference between you making the playoffs and missing the playoffs. If they have growing pains and if Maxime Raynaud comes into the game, let's say he makes his Kings debut in the rotation game six. I don't know who it's against, but let's say he comes into the game and gets attacked and targeted on three straight possessions and scored on three straight possessions, a little 6-0 run. Well, then maybe Doug Christie calls a timeout and brings him over and either uses that as a coachable moment or says, all right, we're taking you back out. We're putting whoever in and we'll build from there. We'll reevaluate. Like that's fine. That's what should happen. I think that's natural progression of any rookie in the league. Neek's going to make mistakes. Devin Carter's going to make mistakes. The veterans are going to make mistakes. So, yeah, like to me, I'm going to be like angry Kings Twitter out there that if the rookies don't get some opportunity with the state of this team right now, then what are you doing? You're just wasting time. And I do think Neek Clifford, by the way, will be in the rotation opening night.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm not sure. First 10 games, and I'm not even talking about like who's the opponent and all that. First 10 games, what do you think you see from this team?
Boy, it could be ugly with how that schedule is. I wonder how disjointed they look. Like, do they still look like a collection of individuals that you're trying to put together a puzzle that just doesn't fit together? Or does Doug, like, I'll put it this way. Doug does not have the ability to fail, I think, in the first 10 games. But he absolutely can succeed, if you know what I mean. Like, sure. if this team comes out and they're cohesive, even if they're 5-5 through the first 10 games, but it's like, wow, okay, we're seeing that. Like, you can build upon that. It looks cohesive. It looks new. It looks like Doug Christie's team, not I'm taking over for Mike Brown in the middle of the season's team. Mm-hmm. Then that to me is exciting. That's progress. So that's what I'm going to be looking for. But they're put to the test right away. Game one and game two, very gettable versus the Suns and Jazz. So they could be 2-0 and we're throwing a party. Then you got the Lakers coming in. And after that, what do you play OKC three times in the first couple months? You play Minnesota three times, Denver three times in the first couple months.
It's like 12-0 right there. What's the problem? What's the problem?
Top of the West.
The one seed Sacramento Kings, 15 games into the season.
Well, you know, it's a down year for the West.
Of course. Of course. Down year for the West. Well, it's Monday, man. Are you ready? Are you ready for another? What season number is this for you covering the team this closely?
This is going to be season 9, I think.
Season 9, okay.
Yeah, season number 9. And I am like 15 episodes away from episode number 2000 of Locked On Kings.
There we go. Let's go.
Very excited to hit that milestone.
Let's go.
How are we going to do that episode? What's going on? Like,
I'm just going to scream about Mike Brown being fired. And just same old, same old.
Yeah, why change now?
Yeah, stay consistent. I'll read. In fact, Kings Reddit, I know you're listening, put together a thread of all the things you appreciate about the show. I'll read them live on the 2000th episode. No matter what you say, I'll read
you
it.
You could talk about drug use on...
Yes, and how it kills.
How it
yes.
kills, yeah. You
I got
could talk
you.
About
yep.
that. Drugs kill.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's no hope with dope. You could do that.
Stupid.
Dumb.
Yeah, Locked On Kings is brought to you by Dare.
Yeah.
Or is it MAD? Mothers Against Drunk Driving? MAD, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could do that one, too. Well, I think you are against drunk driving.
I just went to King's Reddit. First thing was, it's still so funny that Mike Brown started Jay Crowder when he first got signed to the Kings.
I wonder, King's Reddit.
Don't do it.
Matt.
No.
George.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh. There's a post, Damien, there's a post that says, I'm so effing mad at Matt George and Damien Barling.
Is there really?
Yes.
What the heck?
Yes.
What I do?
You're pretty popular on Reddit too, I think, right?
I'm more popular than I used to be.
They're mad at Kenny right now too about the New York Times article.
What'd I get mad at me?
My idiot friends from college send me King's Reddit stuff all the time. I think it's hilarious.
Reddit is just not one. Oh, it's literally titled So Pissed Off at Damien Barling and Matt George. What the hell?
People say Twitter's negative. Like, Reddit is super
Reddit's
negative.
It's a cesspool.
Matt George has always been an idiot. I avoid his content.
True.
I'm going to beat that guy up.
See a lot of Matt George references. How the hell did I get lumped into this?
I don't remember.
By association, maybe?
Wow.
Welcome, pal.
This is terrible.
Yeah, Reddit is a bad place. Reddit is a bad place.
It's not good.
Notice that Damien's not reading out loud because he can't.
Well, I can't find, like, I'm maybe.
I don't even know how to work.
So the paragraph ends with, never liked them, but getting to hate them even more. Just hilarious. They changed their stances that much only because one didn't give them sources and one did.
Oh, it's probably about the Fox stuff then.
They ranted McNair for... They ranted... So first of all, puzzle-headed. You can't type. How much time do we have? Oh, we got to go. God damn it. Fine. Hey, we'll see y'all tomorrow.
Almost nobody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.